This is File 47. This is Jean McMillan. I am interviewing Alan Blagden at his home, 128 Racetrack Road. The date is April 16th, 2013. May I have your full name?
Frederick Alan Blagden.
Your birth date?
February 21st, 1938.
Your birthplace?
New York City.
Your parents' names?
Martha Allen Blagden and Thomas Peabody Blagden.
Do you have siblings?
Yes, three.
Brothers, sisters?
I am the oldest. Then comes Anne. Do you want married names?
Not necessarily.
Right. And then comes Irene. And then comes Tom Jr.
What is your educational background?
Indian Mountain. No, I did the works.
Oh.
Townhill, Indian Mountain, Hotchkiss, and Cornell. I did have a fellowship at Yale Summer Art School, which happens to be in Norfolk, Connecticut.
Lucky you.
It was wonderful. Because I did it. I never knew it existed.
I don't think I did either.
Well, what happens is they Yale sends out notices to different colleges, and the faculty decide who they to recommend.
Ah.
And they recommended me, and I said, what? I lived half an hour from that. What? I never knew that Yale had anything to do with Norfolk.
Wonderful. Now, I'm going to go back to Indian Mountain. Who was the headmaster when you were there?
I think it was Bill Doolittle the whole time.
Probably. And you said that the math teacher was...
Connie Bancroft, who became Connie Doolittle.
Any outstanding memories of Indian Mountain School?
Mr. Osgood.
Tell me about Mr. Osgood.
Well, he was... they had a little museum above a garage. It was an outbuilding. And he knew a lot about nature, and that's, of course, what I loved. And mm-hmm. We'd always go down below in mm-hmm. the back. And I can't remember what he taught.
Science?
I probably failed it.
Hope not.
I don't know. And then there was Mr. Cabot.
What did Mr. Cabot teach?
I had him. Do you know what I remember? I don't even remember what he taught. But he smoked in class.
Oh, my.
In those days. And he took a white linen handkerchief once. He inhaled. Then he took the handkerchief up, held it to his mouth, and blew the smoke through it. And it made a giant brown ring.
It would.
And I said, I will never smoke. And so that was a great lesson.
That was a superb lesson. Absolutely superb. Now, when you were at Hotchkiss, who was headmaster at that time?
George Vince Hanford.
Ah, okay, all right.
I'm lucky to have known him.
Yes.
Sure, really. But I don't think he could be a headmaster today.
No.
In other words, there's too much fundraising, and he was the old school.
Very definitely.
I mean, you'd be walking down the corridor, and this big hand would come up behind you, put it around your waist, and this voice would say, do you think Mickey Mouse should have a driver's license? And he could tell a lot by your answer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did you do any of the sports at Hotchkiss, or were you on the outdoor squad that he...
Wood squad.
The wood squad.
But I played soccer, not varsity.
Okay.
But then it was on the wood squad, and then skiing in the winter. Wood squad in the winter.
What was wood squad like?
Well, that was working outside, clearing the trails in mm-hmm. the woods. I knew George Van Sanford, being a faculty child... I knew him before I even went there, and he left halfway through. I think Bill Chappell came.
Yes, Tom Chappell.
Tom Chappell. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you one story about George Van Sanford, which I look back on. It's really profound. I had, going outside, I love nature. We traveled. My father had all summer off, so we went to my mother's mother for July in New Hampshire. And then we'd go to my father's parents on Saranac Lake in the Adirondacks.
Ah.
Idyllic. I had cousins, a slew of cousins in both places. But I had two baby ducks. that I had gotten. And I told my parents I found them in a pond, a Beeslick Pond, which is on the way to Sharon. Well, the ducks grew up. They were no more wild ducks, and anybody knew it. They were Muscovy ducks.
Oh, my word.
A domestic duck.
Yes.
So finally, when we came back, my father said, there's more to these ducks. Where did they come from? I had stolen them from George Van Sanford.
Oh, my.
And they had imprinted on me completely.
Sure, sure.
So that's how I, well, I'm saying, I can't excuse it. They, my parents, called George Van Sanford. I had to get on my bicycle and pedal over to school, knowing that man was waiting for me.
Oh.
And he came to the steps out on the front porch. I'm way down below him, towering figure. And I apologized, probably in tears. And you know what he said? He said, well, if you hadn't done it, I think the rats might have killed them.
Oh, my.
Now, how about that?
That's pretty impressive.
I know. And then I went from there, that when I was a student, he and I had wild ducks down on the hockey rink. The old hockey rink, which don't exist. And he had swans, and so we did a lot together. But I never forgot that lesson.
Oh, I can believe that. Now, your father was head of the art department.
He was the second art teacher in the whole history of the school. The first was Bob Osborne.
Do you know anything about Bob Osborne?
Oh, I knew him quite well.
Oh, good. Can you give me some information about Bob Osborne?
Well, he was basically a cartoonist.
Mm-hmm.
And when he, I think he left teaching just to be, he did a lot of political cartoons.
Yes, he did.
The school had a lot of originals. Dilbert?
Yes, I think so.
Was it Dilbert?
I think so.
And his, Dilbert's experience with the war and being in the infirmary, and there used to be a whole row of them. Like somebody had some well, this was a cartoon. He had. Where were we?
You were telling me about the cartoons that he had around
that
the corridors.
Some guy in agony, obviously an unknown student, but he had a nail through his leg and the throbbing. All the different ailments that he had done cartoons for. But then he did a book. I knew he did a book called War is No Damn Good.
Yes.
And about the military and how horrible war was.
He had a point.
He did have a point. And then, well, you don't want his wife. He married Elodie, who was just absolutely wonderful. And she'd been working at the Museum of Modern Art.
Mm-hmm.
And they were great friends of Alexander Calder.
Yes.
But he lived above Salisbury, at the north end of Salisbury. He's got two sons. They still have the house.
Okay. Do you know when your father took over as head of
the art? Oh, dear. Well, before I went there, it wasn't hard. He would say it wasn't hard for him to have me as a student.
But it was hard for you to have your father.
And it wasn't hard for me because it was a continuation. Because he would always bring supplies home. And we had a big bench, and my sisters and I could just scribble and draw and paint.
What years were you at Hotchkiss?
I got out of Indian Mountain in 52. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yes, Hotchkiss loved me so much, I spent 5 years there.
So 53 to 58?
57. I had to repeat that year. That was difficult. And I once asked my father, I said, you were on the faculty. What was it like when they discussed my terrible marks and they suggested I had to repeat a year? He was wonderful. This was late in life. I asked him, as he said, oh, that was okay.
What an understanding, compassionate man.
I know.
What kind of art did your father teach? I mean,
he'd gone to the Pennsylvania Academy.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a lot of figure drawing. And he did, I think he had the student, it was all boys at that point. And it's still, I taught 1 year and it was still all boys. He was there about 21, 22 years. I can't tell you when he left, but I had two more art teachers after he left.
Ah. Okay.
I can remember their names.
They were?
Ernest, I got his card. Ernest Norcia, N-O-R-C-I-A, I think. And Bob Spire.
How do you spell Aspire?
S-P-I-E-R. Okay. Oh, no, I'd already graduated. I became really good friends with Bob Burr, B-U-R-R-E-R. But that was after I graduated.
Okay. And your training was at Yale?
No.
Your art training?
No, really Cornell.
Actually Cornell?
Yeah. Because I went there to... I really wanted to be an ornithologist. That's birds.
I know.
And had the interview, and I had not had chemistry, I had not had physics, my math was absolutely shocking, and I would have, so with, for ornithology, you get a BSA, Bachelor of Science. Mm-hmm. So I could tell that the poor, again, my poor father was in on this, drove me all the way to Ithaca, New York, and I could tell that the interview person was getting very frustrated and saying, well, obviously you're not going to get anywhere near liberal arts, Sonny. And so he said, what else are you interested in? And I said, oh, I like to paint. Oh, have you seen our fine arts department? I said, no, I didn't know you had one. It's in the College of Architecture. Go. So we went straight over there. The head of that department said, we don't give a damn about them over there. Switch your application. You get a BFA and you're in.
Perfect.
And I had to take one science for the liberal arts. Of course, I took biology.
Of course.
So then I could take anything else at the university and have all the art courses. It was great.
What medium were you using then? Were you trained in all of them? Or?
Oh, I'll tell you what. They tried to make me go abstract, and I couldn't. The only thing I could do was get slightly impressionistic paintings. But my teacher, this is my major subject, he gave me a 65 in my major subject, and I know that he handed in the marks, and by the time we got them, he was on a plane to Florida. And I said to myself, I'm going to get even with him. Someday, I'm going to get even. I had this vision that I would be invited back as artist in residence, and there would be a dinner given in my honor, and I'd be giving a lecture. He'd be in the front row, and I would point my finger at him and tell the story. Well, there was a dinner given, because I was with, at that point, I'd met Tom Armstrong, mm-hmm. who'd gone to Cornell ahead of me, and he was head of the Whitney Museum in New York. So I went up to Cornell on his coattails, and we did have a dinner for the whole faculty, and I ended up sitting next to the teacher, and guess what he tells? He turns to me at the dinner, and he says, you know, Alan, I've got to tell you, I have come around to your way of thinking.
Good.
Well, I could, that blew it. And the next day he sat in front in my lecture, and I said nothing. So that by coming around, meaning he'd been a figurative, realistic painter.
Sure, sure.
So I still am. I'm stuck with it.
But it's the type of thing. I'm beginning to appreciate abstract, but I still like to know what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
I like a definitive image.
But I think it comes, I do too, but it comes down to me as composition, design underneath it. For instance, there's so much art today that is pure CRAP.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, let me pick Helen Frankenthaler.
Okay.
I like her work every time I see it, because maybe I can see a shimmering sunset, or mm-hmm. it's very abstract, but mm-hmm. she knew color and she knew design,
mm-hmm.
and there's a basic. I don't care how abstract it is, you've got to have the structure underneath it.
There's got to be bones to it,
yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah. I remember also the time I was teaching at Hotchkiss, and one of the boys said, I don't know what he did, but it was very abstract. And he said, we got in an argument or discussion. He said, if I call it art, it is art. If the artist says this is a masterpiece, this is a piece of work, I call it art. I said, okay, are you going to be standing next to this the rest of your life to tell people it's art? It's got to stand on its own. Mm-hmm. And then you get into the whole thing about a critic. Who's a critic?
Yeah.
I look at American Artist, so it's a magazine, American Art in America.
Mm-hmm.
I get so depressed, basically, with what's in there. I get all these. I got one today. I just ripped it up and threw it in the waste in the post office.
That's
but it's not my style.
It's not your style.
And when oh come on, Jeff Koons.
Yep.
Just sold a painting for I don't know what it was three
an exorbitant amount of money,
huge millions. Mm-hmm. And okay, he's a public. He's made the public knows who he is because he had probably a PR person. And he was married to the porno queen of Italy.
At one point.
Yeah. That's how people got it. And he would make statues of them. Or he had a Snoopy. He did copied Snoopy, and Snoopy was tiered geraniums that you planted. It's getting a gimmick.
It's a gimmick, yeah.
I think.
What media do you use primarily? Oils?
Well, primarily it's watercolor now.
That's hard.
Well, I didn't know what it was. I left. What did I do? After college, I worked for the Smithsonian as the illustrator for their ornithology department. That would have led to scientific illustration, which is too exact.
Yes.
I like to be realistic, but that's too exact.
And it's too much draftsmanship rather than...
And somebody would have been telling me what they wanted me to look at the microscope and relate to. So then I left that to make films with N.C. Wyeth. You know N.C. Wyeth?
No.
Or what? Andy Wyeth.
Okay.
Or with Wyeth's grand.
Yep, yeah, I've got it now.
My friend. We made films together based on N.C. Wyeth paintings. And I loved doing that. But that taught me that it takes too many people to make a film. Mm-hmm. So I went back, and I thought, I'm going back to painting, and the best way to get there, to get back into it, is watercolor. Now, I still do oils. I'm waiting for the weather to be really warm so I can not sniff the turpentine.
Yes.
Get a little foggy. I think one of my heroes would be Winslow Homer, who did etching, watercolor, and oil. I just worked with an etcher last week. I do etchings, which I love to do. But somebody's got to do the printing. I cannot be consistent. So I have to pay somebody to do. Mm-hmm. Number one has to be exactly like number 20, 30.
Yeah.
What else?
Specialty. Nature?
Oh, for painting?
Yeah, for painting.
Well, I could have been a portrait painter.
Of course you could.
I could have. And I still love to do people, but I have to. I pick up people in New York. I come back from Morocco, for instance, mm-hmm. and I'll show you the painting. I had stayed at a place, and the manager running it, I just said, "Would you pose for me? You just look terrific." He said, "Yes, of course." So he is holding a big bowl in his what's the word for that jalaba?
I don't know.
The big robe. He's in a white robe. Holding a big bowl of tangerines that was on the table.
Ooh.
And I came back, I did a big painting, and I said, I've got to have another figure. And I'd seen it in Africa, when the shape of a black man's head, I don't know what I'm looking, I don't see it very often in America. And I was at the Javits Center, Convention Center in New York. Mm-hmm. There was a man at the ticket booth, and he is exactly what I wanted.
Ooh.
So I waited until there was a lull in the crowd, and I went up, and it's a line, you can't say, would you pose for me, you have a great head, blah blah. So I convinced him. He finally gave me his phone number, and I kept calling, and I know the voice, whoever answered didn't like my voice, so I don't know who he was, grandmother or what. Mm-hmm. But she wouldn't, I don't think, I kept calling. Finally, I got him. Uh-huh. And he said, sure, I would go down back to the Javits on my lunch hour, and his lunch hour. So I sketched him. I did take a few black and white photographs and used him. And it just worked, because I needed, and he got...
But you knew what was going to work for your composition.
I knew what would work, and it's the shape of the head.
Yeah.
And he wasn't American, he was Jamaican. Meaning
whatever works.
I know. If I just haven't seen it here, but I know it exists.
When you do a study, do you do sketches? Do you use photography?
Both.
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 All the time? Some of the time? Most of the time?
If it's going to be a human, yes. If it's a portrait.
When you're doing a nature study mm-hmm. of whatever, a bird, again, Audubon used to shoot them and stuff them and pose them, but what do you do in order to do a naturalistic style of your animal or bird?
I have a love-hate with zoos.
Okay.
I know, and then usually the animals are too fat to do, but still, I would do the sketch and again, photographs. It depends how long I have.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm traveling, it's really comes down to photographs, but I can't get used to this digital stuff, and I'm a computer illiterate. So, but you've got to make it work.
You do what you need to do.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm on the board of the Society of Animal Artists, so we have more fun. We had our 50th reunion out in Denver, and you would think two busloads of, I won't even say adults. We went off.
Oversized children?
Oh, yes, off to the zoo, and then the next day was off to the wild animal park. The zoo, the bus would leave us off. We just disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Meet us at 5 o'clock. Okay. And then everybody related how they discovered the dung beetle.
Okay.
I ended up doing a painting, which I've got submitted now for a jury show, but it's the Indian rhinoceros wallowing in a green pool.
Ooh. So, did you ever do meerkats?
No.
Oh.
Everybody else does.
Yes.
There are certain on my list. Meerkat, snow leopard, panda, penguin. I probably will not paint.
Oh. Yeah, because that's too
just
common.
Done. It's done. Everybody does it.
Oh, dear. I'm going to go back a bit. How long has your family been in this area? A long time?
I can tell you, yes. I am 75. My father got out of Yale in 33, and George Van Sanford asked him if he wanted to teach art at Hotchkiss. And my father thought that would be a great idea for 2 or 3 years, mm-hmm. and nobody left. So there was no Sharon Hospital at that time.
No,
so my mother went to New York to have her children. And my parents, so they were here from
1933 on.
They were married. I was born in 38, so they built their house here.
Where was their house that they built?
Right up here. On off 112.
Okay.
Next to the Belcher property.
All right.
If you go out this road to the 112, you would turn left for about 2 seconds and take the next driveway to the right, opposite that big red barn.
Red Mountain Road?
No, you've gone much too far.
Okay,
right. Literally turn left, take your first right, immediately.
Town Hill Farm?
It goes into, what?
Town Hill Farm?
Yeah, Town Hill Road.
All right.
And Ward Belcher built a new house up that road, too, now.
One of the problems with oral history is people call houses by the occupants' names, and I have to have a 911 number or a street address just to bring it up to date. That's why I'm asking.
26 Town Hill Road.
That's what I need. Thank you. That's close enough.
I can even remember the old 3-digit phone number that would be.
Your sisters, are they photographers, artists?
They both paint, and they're not, as far as I know, they're sort of now and then.
Okay.
It's very frustrating.
But the talent of art has gone through the whole family.
And my brother is a well-known landscape photographer, and he's just doing, right now, he lives in Charleston, South Carolina. I can show you books. He's got 2 or 3 books on that area, but my favorite book is Acadia National Park.
Oh, yes, I've seen that.
And he's doing a second one. It'll come out next year. For the 100th or 200th
anniversary
of the founding of the Acadia National Park.
Now, I know that you live on Racetrack Road. Did you know Dr. Noble? Did you know about the harness racing? Any of that?
Dr. Noble was my father-in-law. I knew him.
All right.
And I did go, I did once or twice go on the the harness racing, and believe me, I hate the name Racetrack Road because it's too much like Lime Rock.
I can understand that.
Well, it's not racing. They changed the name. It was always Wells Hill when I was growing up, because I grew up with Charlotte Minor. And she taught riding. She had horses right up here in the barn. Mm-hmm. So we always ride down the road, and she always called it Wells Hill. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the real Wells Hill was called.
Well, it was Norton Hill up, going from Lime Rock up to the top.
Oh.
And then it was Wells Hill going toward Lakeville. Because of the Norton farm, the dairy farm that was on the top of the Wells Hill.
Okay.
And I only know this through doing oral history. Can you tell me anything about Dr. Noble as a person? I'm assuming he was a doctor.
He was.
A medical doctor.
He was one of the founders of the Sharon Clinic.
Okay.
You want the others?
Dr. Collins.
Okay.
What was he like as a person, Dr. Noble?
I liked him. He really went into serious, the harness racing.
So it was not a hobby, it was a real avocation.
Well,
of him.
Yes, he did. Once he retired from the hospital. And, I can't remember what he did. He stopped to do research on blood.
Mm-hmm.
And he had an, I say office, he had space at the hospital. And they lived on Main Street in Lakeville. The fence everybody drives.
Yes, I know that house. I know that house. Describe harness racing.
Oh, it's a sulky?
It's a sulky.
It's one person.
One person, one horse.
One person, one horse, two wheels, and it's attached to a harness on the horse, so it's only got two wheels, so obviously the long, mm-hmm. that's the name for all this, but the two bars that attach to the horse mm-hmm. keep you horizontal.
Okay. Was...
He worked with Joe Cleveland. Joe Cleveland. I can't remember Cleveland's first name. They had the track together. Wasn't Joe.
No. Peter?
I don't know.
Okay.
I can find out. Because he then married Debbie, who's still living up there.
Okay. Is there anything left of the actual racetrack, or is it all grown over?
It's all grown over. I think if you really looked, you would see. Mm. Well, hardly.
The Pony Club used to be in that vicinity, didn't it?
I don't know.
The first Pony Club before it went out to Under Mountain Road.
That, I don't know.
Okay.
There used to be riding trails all around here.
Oh, yeah. Are you involved in any civic activities, any boards, or...
Locally?
Locally.
I'm not ashamed to say no.
That's perfectly fine.
Because I did Audubon, which I... And then I was on the land trust. They finally came to me and said, we looked at our bylaws, and you have to get off the board every... something years, and you've been on 9 years, you have to leave. So,
is there anything that you'd like to add to this interview that I haven't covered?
I did. There was a group called Concern.
Oh, tell me about Concern, please.
I was on Concern for a long time. I made some really good friends.
What was the purpose?
Concern was for racial troubles mm-hmm. here, and I don't know why it ended. Concern was really blacks and whites mm-hmm, getting together mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. saying these are the... And really, we would listen to what... For instance, they couldn't get a haircut.
Oh, yeah. But they had to go to Poughkeepsie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then there was somebody when they... I shouldn't say... Well, I will say this. A woman, nameless woman, when she heard that here, she said... Oh, well, that's easy. I have to go to New York to get my hair done.
A little different.
A little different.
A little different. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
What else? No, but if I might think of it. Can I call you if I think?
Of course.
What angle? Anything? You mean just angle of art or
anything
that the art
tickles your fancy? But this has been wonderful. I thank you for your time.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.